ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We continue our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, the chapter entitled The Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, text number 37. Still pull up, oh? Try. Prabhocham. Bhakti yogasya swarupam te chaturvidham kalasya chavyaktya gater yonyat yontardhanavi jantushu Prabhocham bhakti yogasya swarupam te chaturvidham kalasya chavyakta gatir yonyat kalasya chavyakta त्यागतेर योऽन्तर्ध्यावति जन्तुषु योऽन्तर्ध्यावति जन्तुषु प्रावोचं भक्तियोगस्य स्वरूपं ते चतुर्विधम् kalasya chavyaktar gater kalasya chavyaktar gater yo antar dhavati jantushu yo antar dhavati jantushu pravocham bhakti yogasya प्रावोचं भक्ति योगस्य स्वरूपं ते चतुर्विधम् स्वरूपं ते चतुर्विधम् कालस्य चाव्यक्तगते कालस्य चाव्यक्तगते योऽन्तर्धावति जान्तुषु योऽन्तर्धावति जन्तुषु प्रावोचम् एक्सप्लेन्ड् भक्ति योगस्य आफ् डिवोशनल् सर्विस् स्वरूपं द ऐडेण्टिटि ते टु यु चतुर्विधम् इन् फोर् डिविजन्स् kalasya of time cha also abhyakta gate the movement of which is perceptible ya which antardhavati chases jantushu The living entities. Translated and purported by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear mother, I have explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different social divisions. I have explained to you as well as how the eternal time is chasing the living entities. Although it is imperceptible to them. repeat the translation. My dear mother, I have explained to you
the process of devotional service
and its identity of four different social divisions. I have explained to you as well as I have... I have explained to you as well how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. Purport. The process of bhakti yoga, or devotional service, is the main river flowing down towards the sea, is sea of the absolute truth. And all other processes mentioned here are just like a tributaries. Lord Kapila is summarizing the importance of the process of devotional service. Excuse me. Bhakti yoga, as described before, is divided into four divisions. Three in the material modes of material nature, and one is in transcendence, which is untinged by the modes of material nature. The devotional service fixed with the modes of material nature is the means for material existence, whereas the devotional service without the desire for fruitive results and without the attempts for empirical philosophical research is pure transcendental devotional service. Om Ajnanat Mirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militan Mena Tasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhambitamsa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturu Vescha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, sorry, my, I hope, can you hear me from here? It's loud enough, sorry. I'll try as best. I'm not the... Vocal is not so strong, but I'll try my best. So here we are hearing the instruction of Lord Kapila Dev. Now Lord Kapila Dev is now coming to the final. This is actually a final instruction given to Mother Devahuti by Lord Kapila Dev. So what I was actually thinking, because it's now coming to the very final instruction of Lord Kapila Dev, I was going to go through the review or the touch on the what we actually learned from this whole section of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Third Canto, the pastimes beginning from Swayambhuva Manu up until what Lord Kapila Dev taught us. In summary, so because is now he's concluding his teachings to Mother Devahuti. So as we know, this is a conversation taking between Maitreya and Vidura. Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya. He wanted to know about the creation, and Maitreya is explaining the creation process, and Lord Brahma has created different living entities. Just before Swayambhu Manu, he had created Kimpurushas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas, etc. And so up until Swayambhu Manu, Lord Brahma was creating these different personalities from his mind, different parts of bodies, etc. So the Swayambhu Manu and Satrupa, his wife, as the first beings, or the which the process of creation through the process of the combination of male and female starts from that point. So Swayambhu Manu is the first Manu in the day of Lord Brahma. So Brahma's day is known as Kalpa. So Swayambhu Manu is the first Manu. There are 14 Manus. So currently we are in the seventh Manu, which is the Vaivashvata Manu. And so very first one is Swayambhu Manu. So Swayambhu Manu has been instructed by Lord Brahma to start or begin the populating the universe. Because the beginning of the day, so the living entity has been in the, because it's a partial annihilation, the living entities are in the body of Mahavishnu. So now it's a process again starts in the beginning of the Brahma's day. The living entity has to come back into a universe. So he's been instructed by Lord Brahma to start the creation. And so, and other hand, the Kardama Muni is also the Manasputra of Lord Brahma. He's also been instructed to populate the universe. So Swayambhu Manu and Satrupa had five children, two sons and three daughters. Who are the two sons? Can anybody tell? Priyavrata and Uttanapada. And three daughters? Devahuti, Prasuti, and Akuti. So these are the five children of Swayambhu Manu. So, and it's working. Now I can speak softer. So, so these, when Kardama Muni received the instruction from Lord Brahma, his father, to start the population, he took the shelter. Can we have a little volume up, Ripple? Up, up. More. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. A little more. That's better. So he's been, so when he received the instruction from Lord Brahma to populate the universe, he immediately took a shelter of Lord Vishnu. He went and meditated for 10,000 years. Then he gets the audience or darshan of Lord Vishnu. And there he actually, Kardama Muni gives his reason for, that he has been instructed by his father to populate, and he is looking for a suitable wife. Then Lord Vishnu, when he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu, he glorifies the Lord beautifully with his prayers. And then finally Lord Vishnu blesses him and instructs him that in 2 days' time, the Swayambhu Manu will come with his daughter, along with Satrupa, to give him his daughter, so you can marry, and you will. He also, Lord Vishnu also predicts that you will have 9 daughters, and I will come personally as your son, as Lord Kapila. So in this side, Trayambu, Manu, and Shatrupa, as instructed, they approach Kardama Muni to marry the daughter, Devahuti. So so there's whole different beautiful exchange takes place between Kardama Muni and Swayambhu Manu, how they receive each other, and then finally Swayambhu Manu offers his daughter to Kardama Muni as his wife. And Kardama Muni is an ascetic, a yogi, Brahman. So he was engaged in performing a devotional service. So when he married Devahuti, she also voluntarily took the process. She gave up all her royal comforts and took the similar austerity, the ascetic life of her husband. So for many years she served Kardama Muni like that, and Kardama Muni saw how she was dedicatedly serving him, and the Devahuti actually requests him, so now you have to fulfill your duty as a grihastha. We need to create a population. So being pleased by Devahuti's service and by his mystic power, he creates this mansion, aerial mansion, which is described here as 7-story high. And also, it's not just an ordinary mansion. A mansion with the finest jewels you can find, like the diamonds, rubies, sapphires, you can just name it. Not only that, it also had the you can fly, as Prabhu said, the at will, it can fly. They want. And it had the quarters, it had the sports ground, it had the rooms, it had the quarters for maidservants. So beautiful, this mansion. So the Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they travel in this mansion for 100 years, and they go in different places where the demigods and different special personalities come, and so they travel all over the universe. Finally, and they have a daughters, 9 daughters. So, and after having a daughters, 9 daughters, the Kardama Muni indicated he will actually go and take Vanaprastha. But Mother Devahuti requests him, these 9 daughters finally will get married and they will go away. Who will give me the protection? So the Kardama Muni, and then he prays, and he's already been instructed by Lord Vishnu when he was doing tapasya that he will come as his son. So to fulfill that, Lord. Finally, the Lord Kapiladev appears from the womb of Mother Devahuti. So, when Lord appeared, Kardama Muni prays to Lord. He prays beautiful prayers, offers to the Lord Kapiladev, and he seeks the permission to leave the grihastha life and go into a vanaprastha life. This, if you look at the whole purpose of doing a devotional service is to attain the Lord. Lord is already present there at his home. Yet he is requesting or asking permission from the Lord to retire as a vanaprastha. So this is to actually set an example of how the Vedic the customary were followed by the great sages. He sets an example to takes the permission of Lord Kapila Dev, and he retires as vanaprasthi. He goes to the forest, and Lord promises him that he will, at the end of his life, come back to him and back to Godhead. So this is just a little background of how Lord has appeared as a Kapila Dev, and then Lord. So what I was thinking, I was just going to go through some of the instructions or teachings, just the gist of what Lord Kapila has instructed in starting from chapter 25 until this is 32, so about 6 or 7 chapters. Lord Kapila gives very wonderful instructions to Mother Devahuti. So I just want to open my notes. So now Kardama Muni has left, and the Lord Kapila Devi is looking after his mother. Mother is now requesting, because she knows this is not an ordinary child she's got. She's got the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she's taking this full advantage of him being there. And she requests the Lord to instruct her and enlighten her with the transcendental knowledge. So in the chapter 25, it's the entitled as the glories of the devotional service. So Lord Kapila starts with instruction, establishing the highest of all processes. The devotional service is the highest. So it begins the teachings from devotional service, establishing the glories of a devotional service, which is the highest of all the processes. So Devahuti says, this is I am sick, I'm very sick of this disturbance caused by the material senses, for because of this sense disturbance, O my Lord, I have fallen into the abysses of ignorance. Now be pleased, my Lord, to display my great disillusion. Due to my feelings of false ego, I have been engaged in Maya, and I have identified myself with the body and consequently bodily relations. So now the Mother Devahuti is taking the position of a disciple or seeking the transcendental knowledge from Lord Kapila Dev. So Lord, so he starts to instruct his mother in the process of devotional service. So he glorifies how important it is the association of a pure devotee. He begins instruction through the glorifying the association, having an association of the pure devotee, or having a pure devotee as your guide is very, very important. So on the chapter 25, text 20, he says the association of the devotee, even having it for a very short period of time, that can open the doors to liberation. Moksha dwara apapritam. Prasangam ajaram pasam atmana kabayo vidu sa eva sadhu sukrito moksha dwara apapritam. Every learned man knows very well that the attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the doors to liberation. So he begins how important it is, the even slight association of the devotee, that can actually give you a full liberation. That's Then he further goes on and describing the qualities of devotees. Titiksava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satrava santa sadhava sadhu bhushanam. The symptoms of the sadhu, which are he is tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living beings, living entities. He has no enemy. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characters are sublime. So this is the qualities of such a wonderful devotee, the Vaishnava. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually gives example of how these the quality of tolerance is exhibited by Jesus Christ. He was crucified by his devotee and by his followers who crucified the Jesus Christ was devotee. Was a compliment. So anyway, he was crucified he was tolerant. And another example Srila Prabhupada also gives is the Haridas Thakur. He was caned in the 21 marketplaces because of his being a devotee, and he was not following. He was born into a family of Mohammedan or a Muslim family, and he was instead taking the process of a Vaishnava or devotional service. So he was ordered to be beaten into 21 marketplaces. The Haridas Thakur did not complain, or he actually tolerated that. So it's one of the quality of tolerance. Another example Srila Prabhupada gives is the Jagai and Madai, who are also had Nityananda Mahaprabhu, who was beaten. So the qualities of devotees, such as these wonderful qualities, is what devotees have. And in the next text 24, he continues his glorifies the what is the effect of attachment. So, my dear mother, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such a holy man, and for this counteracts the effects of material attachment. So further he glorifies the how important it is, the just by associating with the devotees, the effects of material attachment is gone. And a very famous verse in text 25 says, Satam prasangam amabirya samvidho bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha tad joshanat asva apavarga vartmani sraddha rate bhakti anukramishyati. He further glorifies, in the association of the pure devotees, discussion of pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to hear, satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such a knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced in path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed, then real devotion and devotional service begins. See how important is the... Then he further glorifies the devotees. And this is I'm still on the chapter 25. Further glorifies the devotees. Now these devotees are not even interested in going into a different heavenly planets or heavenly pleasures. Devotees are not interested. But he says that even without desiring them, the devotees enjoys these benedictions are already automatically offered to the devotees, but they do not want. Then Lord Kapila Dev concludes this chapter 25 with the glorifying the devotional service. He says, the very final verse is the says, therefore, a person whose mind are fixed on the Lord engages in the intensive practice of devotional service. That is the only means for the attainment of final perfection of life. So he established the glories of the devotional service very beginnings. So he concludes this chapter. Chapter 25, by saying the devotional service is the highest. Then, Lord Kapila Dev, next chapter 26, is the fundamental principles of material nature. He begins this chapter by going into a detail of Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means numerical. And it has the combination of different elements. He goes into a details of breaking into all the elements into a detail and describing what are the qualities of each element. So, does anyone remember what are the, like, it gives 24 in the. We've got the elements of material nature. Yes, five panchabhuta mahabhutas. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. These are the five panchamahabhutas. These are the five elements. Then there is... Yes, the three. Mind, body and intelligence, false ego and mind. Three, so that's eight. And there's five working senses, yes. And five knowledge acquiring senses. And five sense objects. So that becomes 23 elements. And to the 24th element is three combination of three modes of material nature. So that becomes a 24 elements. Of material elements, and there are two spiritual elements which also comes in there, which is soul and super soul. So combination of all these 26 elements is this material creation. Whatever we see, whatever we can hear or see or do, whatever you are able to see is this combination. This you could see this building, it's a combination of this earth, water and so on and so forth. So nothing exists out of these 26 elements. So 24 material elements and two spiritual elements, which is spirit soul and the super soul. That's (clears throat) So when these elements are in inactive state, they are known as pradhanas, pradhana. When these elements are activated by the Lord through His glands, it is called mahatattva. So Lord gives the whole the details of these elements, describing qualities of each of these elements, how the earth, water, the earth has got a smell, water has got a moistening, and then fire has got a heat, light, and digestive, so on. So he describes the full, all these elements in full details. And he concludes this chapter. So one more point, the combination of this everything aggravate these elements is called a field of activities. So combination of all these elements and this is a field of activities. So Lord concludes in this chapter saying, my devotees actually become self-realized by my ultimate causeless mercy. And thus, when free from all doubts, he steadily progresses towards the destined abode, which is directly under my protection of my spiritual energy and unadulterated bliss. That is the ultimate perfectional goal of a living entity. After giving up the present material body, the mystic devotees goes to that transcendental abode and never comes back. So he concludes this chapter by this instruction. And chapter 28, Lord begins to instruct the, he goes into Ashtanga Yoga. And he also describes the three modes of material nature, the devotional service mixed with the three modes of material nature. And also, he also gives the how the devotional service or devotee is the highest of, he categorizes the living entity from starting from the matter, going into further, going into the how the Vaishnava is the highest in that. So, yeah, he gives full description of how through the process of Ashtanga Yoga, by controlling the different the breathing exercises, and the process of Yama Niyama, and finally getting into Samadhi, and how meditating on the Lord, beginning from the lotus feet, moving upwards through the thighs, to the abdomen, to the chest, and then finally to the beautiful face of the Lord. So he gives the full description how to actually these Ashtanga yogis or can meditate on the Lord, which is again coming to the point. This is the meditation is in the personal form of the Lord, as in Paramatma or Supreme Lord. And Lord also describes the devotional service in the three modes. So he says in the chapter 29, text 8, devotional service executed by the person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, who is separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. So the separatist is that person who is not abiding by the scriptural injunction. That's called separatist. Is that right, Paul? The process and the mode of passion. The worship of deities in the temple by separatists with the motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is the devotional service in the mode of passion. Now he gives the devotional service in the mode of goodness. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the fruitive activities, this devotional service is in the mode of goodness. So then he goes beyond the mode of goodness, because these three modes are still in the level in the material plane, and he goes further and describes the beyond the modes of material nature. In text 12 he says, the manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality, Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So finally, the devotional service that is to please the Lord is the highest. Then Lord concludes that chapter by saying, the devotee must execute his prescribed duties, which are glorious, without material profit. Without excessive violence, one should regularly perform one's devotional service. Then, in the same chapter, chapter 29, Lord describes how the devotees of the Lord is highest. So Lord describes, the living entities are superior to inanimate objects. So the living entities are superior to the dead matter or the matter. Amongst them, the living entity who are displays the life symptom is better. So now he's going progressively at the next stage. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them. Better still are those who have developed the sense perception. Amongst the living entities who have developed sense perception, who have developed the sense of taste, are better. And those who have developed only the sense of touch, better than them. Those who have developed the sense of smell, and better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. Better than those who are living entities who have perceived sounds are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed the upper and lower sets of teeth. Better still are those who have many legs. Better than even are quadrupeds, who has four legs. And better still are human beings. Now they come to the level of human beings, how the living entities being. Now, amongst the human being, now he's going to the categorize even human beings. Amongst the human beings, the society which is divided according to the qualities and work is best. So he's saying amongst the human beings, those who are following the Varnashram Dharma are the better. And in that society, the intelligent men, those who are designated as Brahmana, are the best. So amongst those who are following the Varnashram Dharma, the Brahmanas are better. Amongst the Brahmana, one who has studied the Veda is the best. So even going up higher, so Brahmins, those who are studying the Vedas, they are even higher. And amongst the Brahmins, those who have studied the Vedas, those who know the actual purport of the Vedas, are better, best. Better than the Brahmanas who knows the purpose of the Vedas is who can dispel the doubts. And better than him is who strictly follows the Brahminical principles. So, those who can explain the Vedas to others are better. Even better are those who are following the principles from through the Veda completely. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. So he's going even further. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes the devotional service without expectation in return or reward. So now he establishes how the devotional devotee is the highest amongst all the living entities. How great is this a devotee? Therefore, I do not find a greater person than he who has no interest outside of mine. This is Lord Kapila speaking. And who has therefore engages and dedicates all his activity and all his life, everything unto me without cessation. That is the best. This is Lord Kapila speaking, not me. So then he concludes this chapter by that instruction. And then chapter 30 is the description by Lord Kapila of the adverse fruit of activities. He describes how living entities, when it comes to the bad association or through the modes of material nature and different aspects, he becomes a sinful. He describes how the living entity is because of his actions, he is put into a hellish condition, or he is even taken to hell after death. And he gives a full description of how the living entity is put into a different suffering conditions in hellish planets. So after going through all that suffering, if the living entity is going to hell and he actually comes back to this earth again as in lower species, he comes as an animal, then he progresses further from there unto a higher, and then he receives the human form. So human form is very rare. If person is not doesn't take the advantage of this human form and performs a devotional service, we'll have to go through the sufferings of different condition again and again and again, just goes in the cycle. And the chapter 31, the Lord Kapila actually gives the instructions on the movements of the living entities. How the living entity, once he comes to the form, he's coming to the human form, and what he gives full descriptions how living entities put through in the womb of a mother by through the semen of father, and how the body is being developed in the womb. He gives each month, day, month, and he goes to the final how the living entity is being developed within the womb of his mother. For when it comes to the seventh month, the living entity is fully able to hear. He's got the body is fully developed and able to hear, and he able to understand, perceive the So Lord Kapila says, Karmana, Daivina, Triyana, this is all through the supervision of Supreme, it all takes place. So how living entity is put into a womb, and then he describes in detail how the living entity grows, I think up until the physical body is being developed, we can even scientists can give us that graphic development, how it takes place. But the Lord here further gives how what takes place in the mind of that living entity, and he gives then what is the condition of that living entity within the womb. Because it's not very pleasant situation in the womb, living entity prays. There's about 10 or 12 different verses that Jantu or the living entity, Jantu Stuti, or the living entity prays to the Lord. And in the womb it is mentioned that actually he remembers the 100 birth, the hellish condition he's gone through, all the sufferings of 100 births, and he prays to not be able to put into this condition again, and he prays to the Lord that he can come out and perform a devotional service. But unfortunately, Maya is so strong that as soon as we come out, that's it. Happy birthday. We are put into a... Here, one of the prayers by the living being in the womb. He says, fallen into the pool of blood, stool, urine within the abdomen of his mother, his own body scorched by the mother's gastric fire. This is actually Lord Kapila Deva speaking, sorry. Fire, the embodied soul anxious to get out of this, counts his months and prays, my Lord, When shall I, a wretched soul, be released from this confinement? This is what the living entity is praying. And the Lord also describes how when the living entities come out from that confinement of the womb, after coming out, it's not a pleasant situation, because the child is helpless. He's in the bed. He's being either bitten by different living entities while he was even lying down, a different condition, germs attacking. He's hungry or thirsty. He's not able to communicate because he can't speak, and he can't let them watch what is these. Maybe having a pain in some ways, he cannot. So, like that, it goes. He describes the confinement, the condition of a living entity that is in the suffering condition. But then as he grows up, he gets the attraction between male and female. Then this attraction comes. And then again, this whole cycle of this just going into a sense gratifications and so activities of sinful. So those who are fortunate by the mercy of a spiritual master or sadhu who actually gives us this transcendent knowledge from like Lord Kapila's teaching, that we receive this transcendent knowledge, be able to get out of all this, going through a different cycle of suffering. So, continues, and then there's chapter 32 we're just restudying now. So it's the entanglement of fruitive activities. Lord further instructs his mother to perform a devotional service. So as we heard today's verse, that my dear mother, I therefore advise you to take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for his For his lotus feet are the worth worshipping. Accept it with all devotion and love. For thus you can be situated in the transcendental devotional service. So this is what is instructing in this chapter. So in the today's verse again, sorry, that was text number 22. And today's verse, as we heard, my dear mother, I explained to you this process of devotional service and its identity for different social divisions. That is the three modes, devotional service in three modes, and the devotional service in the transcendental. That's the three. When it says four divisions, Prabhupada explains that's the devotional service performed in three modes, and the devotional service performed in the transcendence. That's the four division is being mentioned here. So this is the summary, the teachings of, because as I mentioned in the beginning of the class, that the Lord Kapila Devi is concluding his teachings to his mother. This wonderful narration of pastimes of Lord Kapila Devi's teaching is such a valuable for all of us to learn. He gives them the full detailed knowledge of how to perform, how the devotional service is the highest, and you are able to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So I would like to conclude here and thank you for being kindly patient. And any comments or corrections, questions? Welcome. Yes, Sri Rupa.
In this Sankhya philosophy, we count it 24 years.
Yeah.
How come the time is not part of the counting?
This is actually that the 24 the elements I have got. This is from here. This one as well, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter 7, I think it is Prabhupada gives in the purport. These the 24 elements he mentions. So I didn't come across the time. I'm not sure. Maybe Gopa Vrindesh Prabhu can tell us. Yeah, time is also, I think, counted in different. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes. Some philosophy. And yes, there is, I think.
How is a living entity in the womb able to pray with such intensity? Because before that, maybe he's coming from animal body, he's covered by.
In that section, Lord Kapila, they clearly mention, he says, some fortunate ones. It's not, I don't think so, it's mentioned that every living entity who even coming from all that hellish condition able to pray. But he mentions some fortunate ones able to pray this. So I don't not every soul has got that ability or remembrance to pray to the Lord. Yes, ma'am. So you're mentioning that
Pradhan,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, that becomes a Mahatattva. Yes. Thank you, Masi. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Krishna.
In the seventh canto, chapter 1, the Lord says that he is equal to everyone. Then why is he partial to his devotees?
What is the question?
So the great question, he is actually referring to the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Lord is equal to everyone. Why he is partial to his devotees? Because that the devotees, because everything is creation of the Lord, and those who are serving the Lord, he declares himself that they are dear to him. He is the Supreme Lord. He's equal to everyone. He doesn't, but there is a little bit of you can say favoritism towards the devotee, because devotees are serving in him with love and devotion. That's why they are dear to him. So he's not partial. If you look at it, if he's partial, because his creation, like for example, we breathe air. The same air is given to a devotee and non-devotee. Is he being partial there? No, he's not. He's not giving, so he's, same sunlight is given to everyone, but he's not, everyone can take advantage of sunlight, because that's Krishna's creation. He's not being partial there. He's equal to everyone. He's giving everything to, he's giving water, sunlight, air, grains, fruits, vegetables, he gives to everyone. Everyone can enjoy. But when the devotees have served him with love and devotion, he's a little bit partial to him. Okay, anything? Yes, Madhya.
Just on that, we are studying the seventh canto. Lord is impartial because he reciprocates with the desires of the person. In that sense, it's not his fault that the demons that don't ask him for help, that don't ask him for protection. He fulfills even their desires, but their desires are not in connection to him, so what he can do?
Yes.
So in that sense, he's impartial, because he fulfills the desires of the living entity.
Yeah.
And the entity, the living entity, the devotees are different, and it seems like he's partial, but that's because they have the better desires.
Mm. Yes. Thank you. Okay, we'll end here. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.